The reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, beginning at verse 51. And that can be found on page 1040 in the Church Bibles. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're still officially in the Christmas season, so I've still got my Christmas jumper on. I noticed Amy had a Christmas jumper on. I'm looking around, seeing. I think it might just be us two, Amy. But thank you for praying so helpfully just now. I don't know whether you've made any New Year's resolutions yet this year, but I'd like to help you if you haven't yet done so. And you may be one of those people who never makes them, but I want to challenge you to make one this morning. And I thought maybe it would be helpful to show you some of my research that I've done into what is trending in 2015, and what is no longer seen as cool. So apparently coffee is over. You've got to focus on tea. So all those coffee drinkers, I'm sorry, we're now in the age of tea. Which is good for me, because I don't like coffee. But apparently all the top coffee shops are all serving more tea now than coffee. Apparently 2014 was the year of the beard. I think that was just for men. But apparently, gents, apparently too many people grew beards. And so that is no longer cool, and you've got to cut them off. For 2015. So I'm sorry any of you that have a beard. Hopefully that helps you with a few things you might want to give up, coffee and growing a beard. To be more serious, I'd like to propose that we make a kingdom New Year's resolution this year. It's not new, but for many, at New Year, it's a great time to review our lives and renew our kingdom resolution to follow Jesus. As a way to help us do that, we're going to be focusing on this cheery passage in Luke about the cost of following Jesus. So if this doesn't go down well today, you can just put it down to the fact that I'm young and naive and I haven't finished my training yet. For those that don't know, I'm training to become ordained as a vicar, and I've got quite a few years to go. So I may say some things this morning that, you know, you can just ignore. But maybe I might say some things that you might not want to ignore. So let's go. Over the Christmas break, I've been asking the question, what am I living for? And where am I going? As I was reviewing my life. And in this passage that we've been looking at this morning, we've heard it read, it tracks Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. It starts off with him saying he's going to resolutely set out to Jerusalem. And he knows that he's going to Jerusalem to be arrested, put on trial, beaten, and eventually put to death on the cross. And along this journey, he meets a couple of different people who say they would like to follow him. So to begin with, verse 51, Jesus resolutely sets out for Jerusalem. Now that sounds like a resolution to me. His resolution is to bring the kingdom of God to earth by going to Jerusalem to die on the cross. Jesus' resolution was to bring the kingdom of God to us, to seek and to save the lost. And his resolution was to save you and me. I wonder how much of our lives are defined by the kingdom of God, by seeking and saving the lost. We talk a lot about wanting to become like Jesus, but do we mean it? Do we actually live it? And it's good at this time of the year to just begin to review our lives. Are they defined by the kingdom of God? Now, if we take seriously this resolution to follow Jesus, this passage today shows us that 2015 will be a year of radical living. It'll be a year full of adventure. It'll involve following Jesus wherever he leads you. It's probably going to be costly, as he says in this passage. It'll be dangerous. Probably involve taking risks. You might get ridiculed and rejected, but it'll be definitely more worthwhile than any other decision or choice you'll make this year. I don't know if I'm selling this to you, but I'll ask that question again. What are you living for and where are you going? My sister has been accepted to run the London Marathon this year. And it sounds amazing. I give her full credit. But we were together over Christmas, and she would get up early in the freezing cold and go for a run every day to train. It's going to involve pain, endurance, probably buying some new trainers. And she hasn't even got to the race yet. When she's running it, it's going to be like nothing she's ever done before. But she's willing to bear the cost because it matters. And I think we might be willing to bear a cost if we think something matters. And so the question is, how much does Jesus matter? Does following Jesus matter to you enough that it's worth the cost? It's worth being rejected. It's worth being ridiculed. So Jesus gives us three examples of where the cost might affect us. Three crunch points where we are confronted between choosing Christ over other things that seem important. Now, this isn't meant to be a list of things this morning that are wrong or that you should be giving up for 2015. I'm not saying that. These are just three crunch points, three decision points in your life that you might come to and be faced with, where you've got a choice. Do you follow Jesus? Or do you compromise your faith in Jesus? So the first crunch point that Jesus addresses is Christ or refuge. And we see in verse 57, it says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Now, most people here probably have a home, and homes are good. I love my home. They're comfortable. They provide an amazing place of refuge. And in those days, in the time of Jesus, if you were probably a young man, if you were wanting to follow a rabbi, then you would probably go and stay with him at his home and learn from him. And Jesus is saying here that it's not the same with Jesus. It's not the same with him. He doesn't have a home. He's got no earthly place to lay his head. There's no refuge if you follow Jesus. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. Jesus' home is in heaven. And he's on his way. But he's got to go via the cross. Now, if we're wanting stability and comfort, and that's our goal, that's our priority, we're going to struggle if we want to follow Jesus. I know I grew up as the son of a vicar, and we moved around a lot. We went where my parents decided we were going, and they went where they sensed God was leading them to go. And it wasn't always to the places we'd like to have gone. We often ended up in the places where my parents said, please don't send us to blah. I'm not going to say where it was. But we'd end up there. So be careful. Don't say to God, don't send me somewhere, because he'll just send you. It's hard. But you know what? I grew up with a following Jesus mentality. It was something that has been ingrained in me. I'm very used to it. And so moving around is something that's very natural. And Jesus is on the move. There are seasons when we might be planted for a while, where we might be called to stay and remain. But there are also seasons where Jesus calls us to go. Sometimes we'll move because we want to, and sometimes it'll feel like we've been moved without wanting to go. Sometimes we'll go to places that are lovely, like Whitney, and sometimes we'll follow Jesus into dark places, into uncomfortable places, into places where we'll face opposition. And this happens right at the beginning of the journey for Jesus and his disciples. In verse 52, it says, and he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. So immediately, the disciples face rejection on this journey. They're doing as Jesus has said, go into this place. They're following his lead. And immediately, they're rejected. Now, Samaritans were seen as half-Jews by the Jews, and they didn't get on well together. And so you could say that Jesus should have known that the Samaritans would reject them and wouldn't welcome him. And so wasn't it unfair to send the disciples into that village? And you might sometimes feel that. You know, sometimes we get sent to places that are really uncomfortable, that don't feel like where we would have gone. Doesn't look like a good idea. And it's like, God, you knew that was going to happen. Why did you send me there? But the fact is, Jesus' mission is to save the lost, the last, the least, and the unlovely. And the Samaritans were seen as unlovely by the Jews. So he's always going to send us to people who will be hard to love, to places where people don't want to go, to people who will reject and ridicule us, not because he wants to toughen us up or to see what we're made of, but because he loves them. And he wants every single person to have the chance of being saved. And he's asking us, will you be my messengers? Will you follow me? This is a challenge for us as individuals, but also as a church. Jesus isn't saying that homes are wrong, or that churches shouldn't have a building, or be a refuge, or a safe place. Because there are seasons and times where it's right to have rest and take refuge. Sometimes the church is described as like a hospital, where we come and be restored. And that's right, that there are good seasons where that happens. But there are also seasons where God wants to unsettle us. And are we willing to be unsettled for the advancing of his kingdom? Are there times when we will seek refuge over following Christ? Stability and safety over adventure and mission? So breaking that kingdom resolution to follow Jesus down into three parts this morning. Part one, I want to say, I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus. Like that man said to Jesus. Even if it means giving up refuge. So the second crunch point, Christ or rights. So moving on to verse 59, it says, Jesus said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. This is hard to hear, hard to read. Jesus again is not saying that burying your father is wrong. He affirms the scriptures that teach us to honor our parents. And we also see in a story about Jesus' friend, Lazarus, who dies and is buried, we see Jesus embracing the grieving process that's involved in burying the dead. So if this isn't actually fundamentally wrong, burying your father, then what's at stake here? What else is going on that means that Jesus responds in this way by saying, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God? Well, if this man who Jesus is asking him to follow, he might have been the eldest son. And if he was the eldest son in a family, after burying his father, he would inherit his father's wealth. And he would have had a right to this inheritance. And so following Jesus there and then would have probably meant giving up that right. Giving up that right probably to a younger brother who would then have inherited that wealth. So perhaps this man was putting his right to his earthly inheritance before following Christ. You know, I think we run the risk sometimes today of a kind of right to prosperity mentality. You know, we have this pattern of work hard, we then have a right to be paid, to then maybe own our own home, have a car, have a decent pension plan, retire somewhere lovely, have nice holidays, nice things. It's this sense that we have a right to this future of prosperity. And I know personally this is a huge battle for me. I really struggle with not letting that be my priority. And making plans are good and rights are good. You know, some people in the world have no rights. and suffer terribly. So we need to keep this in perspective this morning. But Jesus is saying that it's about priorities. When it comes to it, will you lay down your rights to follow him? Which takes priority? Your rights to a good life, a good comfortable life with good things. And says to this man, this is our second point of the resolution, okay? I lay down my rights, God, and instead I'll proclaim the kingdom of God. The third crunch point, Christ or relationships. Verse 61, it says, still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So there are two things to draw out here, I think. The first is Jesus is referring to a passage in the Old Testament in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verse 19 to 21. And it's the part of the book, the story, where the prophet Elijah finds Elisha plowing in the fields and calls Elisha to follow him. And Elisha says, yes, okay, I'll follow you. But first, can I say goodbye to my parents, to my family? And Elijah kind of says, okay, all right, yes, you go say goodbye to your family, and then we've got to go. That's a paraphrase, by the way. And Jesus here is saying that it's going to be more costly, more radical than Elisha following Elijah if you want to follow me. Jesus doesn't give this guy permission to go and say goodbye to his family. Now, relationships with family and friends are not bad. Again, we're going to get this in perspective. But when we put them before Christ, before Jesus, then we compromise. We are at risk of compromising our relationship with him. They're going to prevent us from being able to follow him fully. Now, family and relationships are often where we draw our security from. And Jesus wants to know that he is your primary source of security. Jesus wants to be your priority over the best you have, not the worst. And often family and close friends are the best relationships we have. And Jesus wants to be the priority over the best you have. The best family relationships, the best friendships. This is probably one of the hardest crunch points you might have to face. And one day you might be faced with the choice over choosing, which do I compromise? Jesus, following you, Jesus, or saying goodbye or spending time with family. The second thing to draw out from this little, this verse, he references plowing and setting your hand to the plow. And to plow, I don't know if you do much plowing, probably not, but if you want to plow, I gather, a straight furrow, then you've got to set your eyes ahead to where you're going. And if you look back, you're going to go off course. And it's a bit like running a race, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever seen any of the 100-meter sprints. You know, where are they looking? Are they looking behind them, or are they looking at where the finish line is? They're looking at the goal. And Jesus is saying, he wants us to set our eyes on the prize, on the finish line. Just like my sister who will run that marathon. She needs to set her eyes and thoughts on the finish line. And this passage today, we started with Jesus saying, he resolutely set out, which you could use other words to describe that. It's like setting his face, setting his eyes to Jerusalem. Now we set our face to Jesus. He is the one who loves you more than you understand, who has plans to give you life to the full, who is the Lord of all things, who is seated on high in awesome glory. And he is the one we run to. Are we going to run to him this year? So the third point of the resolution, this New Year's resolution, I'd like to just read a few verses from Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 to 3. I just think they're amazing and they sum up the resolution. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That is my resolution, to run the race, fixing our eyes on him, the perfecter of our faith. The reality is, whichever way we live this year, there's going to be a cost. The cost of following Jesus may mean giving up the place of refuge, our rights, our relationships. But you know, if you choose not to follow Jesus, there's a cost. Now I know I'm making this bit black and white this morning, but it's articulating the point, isn't it? It's about priorities. The cost of not following Jesus is you miss out on Jesus himself. You miss out on life to the full, on knowing your destiny and purpose. So the question is, which cost are you willing to bear? You know, we can't follow Jesus alone. We need his Holy Spirit and we need each other. So I want to call you this morning to join me. Rededicate your life to Christ. Renew that resolution to follow him, no matter what the cost. And I want to encourage you to do something bold. I want to encourage you to stand and to come to the front, because we're going to have a team of prayer, people to pray for you. And you know, when we get up and we do something like walking to the front in front of others, it's like we're voting with our feet. It's like saying, God, I say yes in my heart, but I also say yes with my feet. You know, I'm prepared to count the cost of being a bit embarrassed. If I can't start this year without walking in front of my fellow family in the front of church, how am I going to bear the cost out there? And so I just encourage you, join me in making this kingdom resolution this morning to follow Jesus, to live a radical life full of adventure that involves following him to change the world, counting the cost, taking risks, enduring rejection. This is the most worthwhile life-giving choice you will ever make. So I encourage you, if for the first time or you want to make it again, come stand now and come to the front. And we're going to have the band who are here are going to play. We're going to have some, kind of invite the prayer team to come up. Who else is going to join me? Make that resolution. Rededicate your life to Jesus.